the top of the Empire State Building. Best Equity Business Podcast is back.
We back.
Expansion always, in all ways. Eye-opening episodes, sales, marketing strategies, entrepreneurial development, the everyday entrepreneur experience. So get ready to network to build your net worth. You're now listening to the Pest Equity Business Podcast.
Welcome all and welcome back to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. I'm your host. On today's episode, I have a special guest, Mr. Chad Wallace of Spray Signs. Welcome to the podcast.
How you doing, Vinny?
Thank you for coming on to the podcast, Chad. So let's jump right into it. I ask all my guests this one question. Name one word that describes yourself and why.
I think that's a pretty easy question for me. The answer would be creative. I usually tell people, I mean, when people will usually refer to me as an artist, I paint, I draw, I've done glass blowing, sculpture, airbrushing, photography, other than graphic design. You name it, I've pretty much done it. And I still don't like the term artist. And so I usually refer to myself a lot of times as an ultra creative or a creative. And to me, that goes above and beyond being able to draw or paint or have artistic ability. Being a creative is more about how you see things, okay? I had a friend come to me one time and he said he was working on this invention, but he couldn't figure certain things out. And my wife said to him, just tell Chad what your problem is. That's what he does for a living. He's a problem solver. He's a creative. And so he goes, well, I've been working on this invention for years and I haven't been able to figure it out. And she goes, listen, tell him your invention, give him 5 minutes and I bet you he solves your problem. And sure enough, he explained what he was trying to invent and what he was doing. And instantly I told him it won't work. And I told him the reasons why it wouldn't work. And he agreed with me. And I took about 5 minutes and I thought about it. Next thing I know, I was inspired with this crazy idea, jumped up, started building him a prototype. And within 15 minutes, I had his product invented and said, here you go. And he was like, how did you do that? My wife goes, I tried to tell you, he's a creative. He thinks differently than everybody else. And it's just the way, if I see life, I go outside, I see things that other people don't usually notice. When people come to me with an idea that they have, and they think they might know what they want, but all of a sudden I come up with something totally different. Usually what I hear is, man, I would have never thought about that before. I'm like, well, that's why you come to me. So I would say creative.
Well, that's amazing. And we need to speak after the show because I have an invention that I need to run by you. So, Chad, listen, why don't you give us, some background about yourself, you know, how you got involved in, you know, your creative process, what you do, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I used to work for another company that did posting signs, and we'll leave the company's name out. You know, we kind of talked, you know, separately about it. My wife came to me and said, listen, you know, you used to be a really happy, fun guy. And I haven't seen that guy in a long time. And I believe in you. You have customers that just love your artwork and they believe in you, but you need to believe in yourself. She had cashed in her retirement from the state of Ohio and gave me a check and said, listen, take this and be happy. She said, this is your one shot at doing something for yourself. You've always used your talents to make other people money. It's time to do it for yourself. She said, be happy. And that's how I started Spray Signs. That and a lot of blood, sweat, and years.
Yeah, man.
As you say, Vinny.
Yep. So Chad, I understand, like, you know, you were always an artist and, you know, your wife inspired you to follow your dream. How did you identify, you know, your target audience? And, you know, how did you market your product to them?
Well, I didn't even know these signs existed. before I worked for that other company. I had always been around printing. My mom had owned a printing company ever since I was a little kid, and her printing company ended up going bankrupt probably right around my teenage years, 12, 13 years old, somewhere around there maybe. And so I had kind of seen a lot of decline in printing. And when I went to work for that other company, I said, holy crap, this guy, he has a niche in printing and doesn't appreciate it. I saw the growth potential. He did zero marketing. He had absolutely horrible customers and treated his employees like crap. I said, such a niche market that people come to him no matter what, and he can treat them poorly, and they still come back. And I'm like, what would it take to start my own business that if I could offer better customer service and I know I could design better than what they could, why couldn't I do this for my offer a cheaper product, better quality, better customer service, and better design? And I said, if I could treat people nicely and just do a good job, people will come back. And not only will they come back, they go out and yell my name from the top of buildings and say, man, you got to go see this Chad guy. He's the best. So honestly, I don't do any marketing. The only real marketing I do is usually I will take signs when we finish them up, and I will photograph them, and I stick them on our Facebook, and I will post them on Instagram or occasionally Twitter, and just put them out there and say, okay, this is one of the newest signs we did. We are so overwhelmed with business right now that I have actually had to stop doing that, because every time I poke my head out on social media, I get bombarded with orders. And so it's been that successful. So when people say, you know, your product sells itself, I think a lot of times when people see the design work and they're like, wow, okay, I want a sign that looks like that. I want a character. I want something that really stands out from all my competition. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So basically, Okay. Customer feedback is very important to you and how you market and brand your business.
I usually tell people, I don't just like to make customers. I like to make friends. So I really try to create a relationship with my customer. And so it's more than just a business transaction. I'll give you a very good for instance. Okay. I have a customer, and it was from when I first started. And I found out that him and his wife were having a baby. Okay. This guy, he was such a nice guy. He's a younger guy. And he had just started his business. He was in Florida. He's in Florida also. He was probably like 2.5 hour drive each direction. And he said, you know what? I've enjoyed talking to you so much. I want to drive down and pick up my signs when they're all done. And I'm like, okay. So he had told me that him and his wife were having their very first baby, this, that, and the other. So he drove down to pick up his signs and stuff. And I gave him a present. And it was an outfit for their baby. Honest to goodness, it had zero to do with business. Zero. I wasn't doing it as a, oh, I got to, you know, kiss up to this guy and so he'll order more stuff. It wasn't like that. I was happy for these guys that they were having their first baby. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I'm actually the same way.
And I think that if you approach things, not just because of business, but make it more human, make it, you know what I mean? It was just between me and that guy. And so here's what ended up happening. That guy was a customer of my old boss. So, but he changed over to me because they weren't designing him a sign that looked very good and their customer service wasn't very good. So he changed over to me, and we had a good relationship, and everything worked well. I gave him his signs. He absolutely loved them. Started telling everybody and their brother about me, which is great. But like, probably 2 weeks later, see, somebody from the company that I used to work for stalks me on social media. I haven't quite figured out who yet. But they will turn around when I post signs online and they will send sample packs to my customers and stuff like that. Okay. There's a lot more to that story that I'm just going to leave out because this would be a 5-hour podcast if I did that.
I totally got it. You have a stage 5 clinger.
Oh my. So my old boss actually called this guy and said, oh, you know what? Do you still want those signs we've been designing for you? Blah, blah, blah. And this guy said, yeah, no, I don't need them. Well, oh, why not? We could give you a good deal, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, I went over to Chad at Spray Signs. Oh, Chad. And then he starts spouting a bunch of stuff that were lies, not true, and said, you know what? I'll make you a deal. If you return all that stuff you got from Chad, tell him that the quality sucks and stuff. If you do that and tell him you want a refund, it's going above and beyond for your clients, not necessarily with the motivation just to get return work. It's just about making your business more human. You know, I don't feel the need to just do stuff that's business related a lot of times. If a customer says, hey, can I get a copy of my artwork so I can have it on my website? Yeah, I don't charge you a penny extra. I just do it. You know why? Because that's the right thing to do for me. I mean, I believe you already paid me for that artwork. It's yours. I'll give it to you. I'll put it in a couple other formats so that you have it for your vehicle wrap. You have it for a website. Here you go. You know, and I'm not going to charge you a penny extra. But I try to go that extra mile. I have a bunch of mottos. But one of my mottos is always do more than what you're paid to do. Always go that extra mile for your customer.
Absolutely.
So that's why I try to do it. And I think that's why we've been successful.
Yeah, I was taught if you take care of your customer, the business takes care of itself. So that I totally get what you're saying. And also, like we were speaking upon earlier, like a lot of business has gone into this new like automation, you know, that customer service is not, you know, like you said, like intimate anymore. It's more like, you know, send them a autoresponder or whatever it is. And that's what's lacking, in my opinion, and why so many people contact me to help them with their business and why it's failing.
Right.
So on that note, Chad, can you share any challenges you faced while starting your own business and how you overcame them?
Oh, my. Here's my most famous story. You ready? And I know we talked a little bit off the podcast. And, you know, I kind of hinted around at a story, but didn't tell you. So here you go. Here's my story. When I first started, I quit my old job literally like a couple of weeks before the pandemic started, okay? Which was the world's worst time to quit your job. If I had a magic eight ball and went back, I might have changed my mind there for a little bit, you know? But what happened was our signs are run on what's called polyboard or poly-coated board, which is the same thing that they print milk cartons out of or orange juice containers, okay? We run everything digitally. We have, now we have 2 digital presses, but at the time we only had the 1. I bought all this poly, and the first batch that I bought was too thick to go through the machine. The second batch that I bought wouldn't go through the machine because of static electricity. I bought the paper 12 inches by 18 inches so that we could run 2 signs on a sheet of paper or sheet of poly, cut the paper in half before we die cut them into shapes. I could never get more than 20 sheets through the printer before it would jam. And this became a month long issue where I tried everything in the world to get this stuff to run. My best friend from high school, who was our valedictorian, has a PhD in electrical engineering. And I was constantly on the phone with him trying to get ideas on how to get this stuff to run, and it wouldn't run. So here it is. I had signed a lease in April, on April Fool's Day, of all things. And it was the last Friday in August. I had no customers. I had a bunch of paper that would not run through my printer. I had a printer that would not work with paper that I was using. Then I went online and looked at my bank account, and I had $75 in my bank account.
Wow.
That's it. Now, I had started my business with my wife's retirement from the state of Ohio, that check that she gave me to start my company, and I had blown it all. That next week was when rent was due. I had no money. I had no customers. I had no working equipment. And I was so depressed. I literally could not fathom going home and telling my wife I had just blown her retirement check. And I, one of the things when she gave me the check, she said, "I just want you to know that I have faith in you. And you have a lot of your customers that are almost like a cult that just love your artwork, and they have faith in you too." And I kept thinking about that in my head. And I'm like, she had all this faith in me, and I blew it. I blew it. I blew all her money. And I started to have really, really, really bad thoughts. And it was starting to look easier to kill myself than it would be to go home and tell her I let her down. Okay. And it wasn't anything that I had done wrong. I didn't go out and just blow through the money, you know, on stupid crap. It was just stuff beyond my control. And so I had this office in our little space, and the office had no windows, and I had a beanbag chair in there in case my kids needed to go to work with me during the pandemic. And I went in that room, and I shut the door in the pitch black and got down on my knees and started praying. And I said, "God, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry that I've been so arrogant that I thought I didn't need you. I thought I was smart enough and I was talented enough to do this on my own. And I'm not. Obviously, I'm not. I've asked everybody and their brother how to solve this static issue, but I didn't come to you when you're the inventor of static, okay? I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Please help me," over and over and over. And so I just kept saying, "I am so sorry." And I kept saying, "Please help me. I don't know what to do." And for 2 hours, I stayed there, 2 hours straight, okay? And I cried until I didn't have a tear left in my body. After 2 hours, I got up off my knees and I said, "Okay." I opened up the door, walked out, and it was a Friday. And I'm like, "Okay, now what?" It was not probably 3 minutes at the most, probably. And I had this thought, and I said, "You know, I have all this paper. What if I ran the signs one at a time instead of trying to get two per sheet? What if I take this paper in the back to our paper cutter and I just cut it into, you know, 9 by 12 sheets instead of 12 by 18? What do I have to lose at this point, right?" So I went back and I took a small stack of it and I cut the paper in half, loaded it into the printer, and I had one customer who had followed me from the place where I used to work and who wanted signs, but I had never been able to print them. And so I already had his design. I sent his design over and said, "Okay, print 50 of them." Now, remember, I had never made it past the number 20. And boom, 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 they all printed. It didn't jam. And I went, "Wait a minute." Within the last month, I had spent probably close to $1,000 trying to buy all this different products that would get rid of static, supposedly. And nothing ever worked. Why did this work? And it cost me nothing. And so I cut down a bigger stack of paper, put it in the machine. I said, "Print 100. Boom, boom, boom. Didn't jam one time. Printed 100. Now I'm starting to get excited. Cut down a much bigger stack, said, "Print 500. Boom, boom, boom. Did not jam one time. I'm like, "Holy crap." If I would have had any more tears, I probably would have went back to crying, but this time because I was happy, not sad. And so I texted my wife, the static problem's gone. She got it. She texted back, good, now make some money.
Yeah.
So I texted that one customer that wanted those signs that I was just running and said, the static problem's solved. I can print your signs. And he went on to this Facebook group and he said, man, now he jumped the gun a little bit, but anyway, he posted, I just got my signs at Spray Signs and they did a great job, something like that. Now, I had kept it a big secret that I was starting this company because my old boss is, let's just say, a very vindictive person, okay? So I was keeping it a secret. And one of my old customers from that place posted, that must be where Chad went. My customer took a screenshot of it and texted to me and said, uh-oh, I think somebody just outed you. I texted that guy and said, how did you know it was me? And he said, Chad, dude, you're the best designer in the industry. He said, I went over to that place where I used to work to place a reorder, and I saw somebody else sitting in your seat. And I asked them where you had went, and they said you had got burnout and you were sick of this industry and you quit and that you decided to go do something else for a living. And he said, and I knew they were lying to me. And I said, I wasn't going to buy signs until I found you. And he goes, so now that I found you, print me 1,000 signs. And here's my credit card. And I said, okay. I said, well, that other company charges you $250 for a custom die shape. I don't want you to have to buy another die shape just because you're changing over to me. So I will eat your die. I will pay for it myself out of my own pocket. And he goes, oh, no, you will not. And I go, what? He goes, Chad, I've been where you're at right now. He said, I started off with a spray tank in the back of my pickup truck, back of a rusty old pickup truck. And I went door to door saying, hey, I'll spray your lawn for $20. And he goes, so I know what it was like to get started. And you're not buying anything from me. He goes, I will pay you. You charge me. You got it? I'm like, oh, okay. And he goes, you know what? Marty from Marty's Bugs. Yeah, he was saying he's been looking for you too. He goes, I'm going to text him. And all of a sudden my phone rings. Chad, I can't believe it. My first, my other customer, his name was Vinny. So I'm not confusing him with you. Okay.
He's got a great name though.
He goes, Vinny told me that he found you. He goes, man, I said I wouldn't buy signs until I found you either. So give me signs. And Vinny told me you would try to give me a free die. And dude, I'm not taking that from you. He goes, you charge me. We want to help you. I go, oh, okay. And he goes, you know what? I have a friend. His name is Johnny, a pest company. And he goes, I'm going to call him right now. He's going to call you. And sure enough, my phone rang. All of a sudden, it's this Johnny guy that I didn't know from Adam. And he goes, Marty told me I need signs and not to take anything for free, whatever that means. And I started laughing. And he goes, so give me 1,000 signs. Give me his credit card. So from the time that I got off my knees, when I went into that room, I had $75 in the bank. I had no working printer. I had no clients. I had nothing. Within 2 hours, I had a working printer. I had 4 customers and I had like $3,500 in the bank. And so I could pay my rent. And from that second on, I never looked back. But I told my kids, I said, listen, with my personality and my skill set, it would be really easy if my business were successful right from the get-go and I didn't struggle like I did. It would be really easy for me to say, look at what I've done. Look at how great I am. It's because I'm so smart or I'm so talented or whatever, right? And try to take all the credit for myself. It didn't go that route. I had to totally like humble myself and say, listen, I've done everything I know how to do and it's not working. So obviously I can't do this by myself. I need help. not trying to get off on the whole religious aspect of it, you know, but to me, it's one of those things that's always in the back of my mind, try to, you know, keep me humble and keep me saying, listen, you know, you might think that you're all that and a bag of chips, but, you know, without other people along the way, without God helping me, without customers that have been really loyal to me and, you know, praising my name all over Facebook and the internet and saying how great I am, and which brings in other customers, I'm just, it's been a very humbling experience. And so even though it was not fun to go through, let me tell you, and it almost broke me, but I came out at the end, not saying that I'm rolling like you, Vinny, or anything. but I'm just, you know, hey, I'm happy that we're growing at a crazy rate. We have lots of great customers, and you know, I've had the pleasure of meeting lots of great people that are small business owners like me, and they've gone through, you know, bad stuff too. And I try to use that story to try to tell them, listen, you know what? It's not fun. When you're going through that, you're looking at your bank account wondering, man, I'm working my butt off. Where's the money? I mean, I, as I told you, I average about 90 hours a week, and I'm married. I have two kids, work my tail off. I'm not doing it for the money. I'm really not. I enjoy designing these signs. I get a lot of enjoyment out of designing these signs and trying to help people grow their business. And trying to help them get a really cool visual identity. You know what I mean?
Totally got it. Yo, God is great. Yo, shout out to Vinny if you're listening. a lot of the times, Chad, we are A to Z thinkers, right? So we're worrying about A, we're obsessed over Z, yet we forget all about B through Y, correct?
Yep.
Another thing, like in business, you always want to have 5 bank accounts, okay? And, you know, we could go into more detail about that on another episode. With that lesson, what's one piece of advice that you would give to someone starting out in your field?
If you're starting a business just to get rich, don't do it. If you don't have a passion for what you do, don't do it. You know why? Because there's going to be a time where the struggle is going to be a lot more than the money is. And if you don't have a reason to do what you do other than the money, you're either going to fail or you're going to give up. I mean, I have a real passion for what I do. There's a company that does signs, and they're really super big. They had a video conference call with me. One of their top executives and said, you know, listen, I've been following you for like 7 years, and we tell all our new designers to follow you and try to mimic you, that's a good honor, you know?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And he goes, they can't do it. And I started laughing and I said, have you figured out why they can't do it? And he goes, yeah, I know exactly why they can't do it. And I go, why? And he goes, they don't care. They don't care. And you can see it in their design work. He said, when I see your design work, he goes, there's a passion there. You can tell that you've thought through everything about that sign. He said, the kids coming out of college, you know, screw it. I don't care. It's just going to be a stupid sign that's going to be out in a yard for 24 hours. So why should I put a lot of thought into it? I have a bunch of other projects on my desk, you know, so why should I really worry that much about one design? I started laughing. I said, you know what? You're absolutely correct. I actually care about these signs. To me, they're no different than if I go and paint a picture or do some sort of artwork that I want to produce. Those signs are my artwork. I am the only artist that owns a printing company in this industry, you know?
Yep.
I mean, that's what kind of is what sets us apart from all those other companies out there that do what we do, is that I don't sell crap. if it has my name associated with it, I want it to be the best product that we could possibly offer. You know, are we going to be the absolute cheapest all the time? No. But are we going to make you look good? Absolutely.
It's like I said to you off air, you know, cheap is expensive. Also, you know, take 0% to hustle, but talent is talent. You know what I'm saying? See, right. A lot of these like companies, like how you said it, like they're big corporations. So their business model is based on volume, and volume is always going to make you fail. That's a fact on top of fact. Like a lot of people think like, oh yeah, I have, you know, all these customers, right? But are you profiting from it? You know, at the end of the day, it isn't all about the money. I totally get it, because you have to have a passion for what you do. Like myself, I like to help people, whether through my, you know, many businesses or my podcast. But a lot of people, they don't get incentivized to be the way you are and to have the passion that you have and that you wouldn't put out other than quality product. So that's the differential pretty much. So Chad, doing all of this, right? How do you balance your work and your personal life, being you said you do 90 hours? That says it all.
Hey, I'll tell you, I'm pretty good at a lot of different things. Time management is not one of them. I mean, as far as family and home life versus work, I'm not good at it. I have the absolute most patient, loving, caring wife you would ever meet. Obviously, I told you, you know, it was her and her retirement that, and her faith in me that got me started. But even though, I mean, she's come into the office and helped, you know, on weekends, or she has a day job. It's my business. I could call it a family business, but, you know, I'm the one doing 99.999% of the work. You know what I mean?
I understand.
But without her holding down the home front, signing permission slips and doing this or that for our kids, or, you know, running them to baseball practice when I have to stay home and work, or if I have to stay late at the office and work, without her having faith in me, having trust that I'm actually working and not having a girlfriend out on the side or anything, you know? But I mean, I can legit, like this week, earlier in the week, I was here at the office till 1:30 in the morning, went home, ate a little food, went back on my laptop till 6 in the morning, passed out, woke up at 7 to take my kid to school in the morning. And my wife will say, you know, you need to sleep sometimes. And I'm like, I'll get all the sleep that I need when I'm dead at the Limestone Roadhouse for all those old people that listen to your podcast. like us, Vinny. You know,
yes, sir.
Watch Roadhouse. I have that drive. I have that passion.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when you have that drive and passion, you do whatever it takes to get the job done. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, nowadays, your society states like, you know, everyone is, what's the word, you know, entitled, right? But it's actually what you earn in life, you know, what you put in, you're going to get out, you know, like if you think you're going to work a couple hours a week and, you know, again, with that MTV reality stuff, it ain't going to happen. So that's a misconception. So Chad, let me ask you this question, right? If your budget was tripled right now, what would you spend it on?
I have a lot of gold. A couple months ago, I said to my wife, I said, every time I've ever set a goal in my life, I've always achieved it. Okay? I'm kind of like a bloodhound. If you give me something and I put my mind to it, I have an unrelenting drive until that's accomplished. Okay? I said, I've always set goals for myself until I started this company. I had been so busy doggy paddling out in the middle of the ocean, just seeing all these waves, which kind of represent bills and problems, that are always trying to overwhelm you from looking towards the land, which is your goals, right? So I said, I'm going to take a half a day and do nothing but dream and say, what goals can I set for Spray Signs to make us more successful down the road? I told my one employee, Chris, I said, you know what? Every time I accomplish one of these goals, I'm going to take you to lunch. How's that? Since you're helping me achieve my goals. And he's like, okay, sounds cool to me. I get a free lunch. And so I have a window in my office and I started writing stuff all over my window to my office. Chris got on me and said, you know what? You need to write those in some semblance of an order because my goals are just all over the place. They're just random, almost like random thoughts in my head. And I said, no, I don't want them in a certain order. Because if you can't accomplish the first one on your list, you're going to get stuck. You're never going to try to do the ones farther down the list. And maybe those are obtainable right now. And so I just started writing all these goals. And that was like, I don't know, probably about 2 months ago. And in 2 months, I've already gotten four of those things off my list, which I think is pretty cool. So what would I buy? I would buy a bigger die cutter. I think that's one of the things I would buy is a bigger die cutter. Our die cutting can only go up to 9x12. And I've had a bunch of customers lately that's wanted bigger signs die cut. I can't produce them. I would do that. And also when I tell you this, it's kind of a secret, but anyway, I don't like printing on poly. The static is horrible, which I told you about. Mm-hmm. It slows our machines down. It's hard to get. If I place an order, it could take a month to get in more paper, and which is terrible because there have been times where either because of budget reasons or whatever, I waited too long to order. And next thing you know, we're completely out of paper and we're just sitting here and can't produce any signs, which is not a good thing, you know?
Yep.
And so what I have been in search for or testing for is how to make my own water resistant poly. I'm not going to get into a lot of details on what's involved with it, but I think I have it figured out. And this has been 2 years of research, testing, and stuff like that. And so I think I've got it figured out. But there's like one piece of equipment that I would need that would help me produce this stuff, which I don't have yet. So if it works, then that's what I would say. Those two things.
Well, that's a good thing because, you know, goals are important. And, you know, like you stated, you know, you should basically tackle one at a time rather than do the machine gun effect and be all over the place. We kind of spoke about that. Like you want to try to master, you know, one thing at a time. So you have the capital coming in. So if you want to move on to something else, like you have the capital to sustain you in order to obtain the next goal.
Right. I mean, that's the one thing is that I did not want to build this business out of debt. Okay. So you could have a gigundous building and all the latest, greatest stuff. But if you built this place out of debt, you're just going to sit there and be worried about, oh man, I got to pay this every month. And, you know, then you have your payroll and this, that, and the other. And I didn't want it like that. When you have enough money to buy something, pay for it, you know?
Yes.
I know where our shortcomings were. We only had one printer. If that thing went down, we were stuck. We were just completely down and out. And so I knew we needed a second printer. So we got a second printer eventually, you know. And is it brand new? No, it is not brand new. I got a heck of a good price on it. But, you know, I want to grow without obtaining debt, if possible.
I totally get it. You're trying to avoid, you know, outside money. You know, like, unfortunately, in our country, if you want to obtain money, you have to have debt. But I totally get what you're saying. You're trying to, like, grassroot it and build, right. You know, build one you know, one department at a time. Like, I know a person that's in a, not the printing business, but they do like, you know, shirts and stuff to that nature. And that's, that's how he built his business. He actually started in his basement and he had, you know, one embroidery machine. And now he's basically got like a factory where he produced, you know, mass produces. So I totally get where you're coming from.
Exactly.
So Chad, what's your favorite hobby outside of your business?
Who has time for hobbies? My New Year's resolution for this year was that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, okay, I want to balance home and work life and, you know, this, that. I don't want to work as hard, whatever. I can't, I'm not to the point where I can slow down, okay? Mm-hmm. But I understood that for mental health reasons, I needed some sort of quality of life for myself. Because really, I legit do nothing but work. I mean, I go to my son's baseball games. Occasionally I go to practices and sit there with my wife. Now, when I'm at baseball practice with my wife, I take my work cell phone and I'll start answering text messages or emails right from my work phone at baseball practice. So even when I seem like I'm there, I'm distracted by work. That's not bragging. That's actually saying that's a character flaw on my part.
Yeah, plus, you know, you're trying to scale the business. So, you know, you need to be on top of your game. Like the point I was trying to make earlier, a lot of people feel that, you know, you open up a business and right away it's like, oh, I don't have to do anything. I could go on vacations. You know, you have to put in the time, and depending on how you want to scale your business and pretty much like, you know, how you want to organize your company. You know, some people don't want, you know, other people and, you know, they just want to keep it within. So I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, so my New Year's resolution was that I would take one evening off per week and either sit and watch a movie with my wife without me being on my work laptop or playing some PlayStation. I enjoy playing PlayStation when I have time, but I had gotten to the point where if I played PlayStation, I felt guilty and I would sit there and I would be playing and I would be feeling guilty that I wasn't working, which is a messed up way to think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have to force myself to say, listen, Chad, you need a break. Just take the night off, shoot some zombies or something, and just enjoy yourself.
Yep.
You know, you deserve at least one evening a week. It's not like I'm doing it all the time. So, I mean, that's kind of what, when I have time, that's what I do for fun.
Okay.
You know,
I enjoy video games as well.
I like to spend time with my wife, you know. One of my goals, it's not on the board, but I told my wife, I said, okay, here's a personal goal. I want to take you and our boys on a cruise this year. This year will be our 25th wedding anniversary.
Congrats.
And thank you. And her and I went on our 20th anniversary on a cruise. It was our very first one we ever did. And I had told her the first year we were married, on our 20th anniversary, you and I are going on a cruise. If we have any kids at that point, they're not going with us. Okay. It's just going to be you and me.
Yes.
And she's like, man, you're thinking way far ahead, aren't you? And I'm like, hey, I'm just telling you. And sure enough, 20 years rolls around and we were broke. And she's like, well, you said we were going to go on a cruise this year. And I go, oh no, we're going on a cruise. And she's like, hate to tell you, we're broke. And I went, I set a goal. I'll obtain it. Don't worry. And she's like, okay, whatever. And she didn't blame me. And so I sold like one of my paintings and did some freelance design work, had the money to go on the cruise by the time it rolled around.
Nice.
And so I said, you know, when I set a goal. And so, yeah, so this year is, I said, this time I want to take our boys because they've never been on a cruise. I think that would really be cool for them to.
the main thing is you guys enjoyed yourself and you know, you made your goal a reality.
Oh my goodness. We had such a blast. We went on this, we rode quads, you know, four wheelers.
Nice.
Through the jungle. And, I think that was in Belize. And, it was absolutely so cool. It was so much fun. My wife, oh my goodness, she got on that thing. She was gone. And I don't think I've ever seen her that happy since we've ever known each other. She was just like glowing. She's like, this is so much fun.
Oh yeah. So, my last trip, I went to, in Mexico, I went to Cabo San Lucas.
Okay.
It was an amazing time, man. We did like, you know what Baja racing is?
Yeah.
You know, I did like a professional circuit. We did like jet skiing. We rode horses, the ATVs. I pretty much did like every excursion.
Right.
You know, and it was like the greatest time. We stayed at the Rue Palace, which is like 5 minutes away from like the main, you know, attraction or whatever. Right. And I pretty much, you know, I did everything that they had to offer. It was a great time. And, you know, you need that, you know, like sometimes you just need to go away so you can refresh, you know, reset your mindset.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
And as you continue to grow, you know, like, in my opinion, you know, you have a little like self-doubt that, you know, you need to work on. But I think that as you grow more and more, Chad, and no offense to you, I'm just talking to you as a friend, like
you're gonna
see that, you know, little by little, as you expand, you're going to be able to delegate like other tasks, not maybe the creative part of it, because you're an artist and an artist is an artist, period. But I totally get it.
Yep. My wife said, because I knew I needed help, because I can't keep doing everything. And so it got down to, what do I need more, an office manager or another designer? And my wife said, listen, here's the deal. You are never going to be happy with another person's design work like you are with your own design work. And she goes, if I were you, I would hire a customer service person, because you don't need to be doing that stuff when you should be spending the time doing what you were made to do, which was designing. And that's what brings me the most joy. That's what makes me happy. And when I would spend all day on the phone with customers or running a printer or whatever, I would go home in a bad mood because I didn't get that creative release, basically, when I could stay in my office and design and turn up my music really loud, just have that creative freedom. That's when I'm at my most happy.
Totally got it, man. That's your process. You know, like, yeah. I totally understand where you're coming from. You know, plus, like, you know, we were saying, like, you're not looking to be like a mass production type of organization. You're more a one-on-one, you know, quality. If you were about like being a mass production type of operation, then you wouldn't care who was doing your designs. So I totally get it. Yeah, man. So Chad, is there a question you wish I had asked you? And what would your answer have been?
If there was one thing that I would have wished I knew before starting my own company, I wish I would have known a little bit more about business in general, you know, taxes and insurances and all that stuff that I really had no clue of. Unemployment insurance and building insurance and, you know, this, that, and the other, all the different taxes and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's probably one thing I really wish that I would have known more about before starting my own business. But so it's been a learning curve, that's for sure.
Yeah, business is always a journey. You know, that's another reason why I, you know, started this podcast, because like we were speaking about, like, I could come on here and do a 30-minute, 40-minute show about, you know, how to kill an insect or whatever the case might be. But I want to try to instill and teach, like, these entrepreneurs that are coming up these things that we're talking about right now, as far as taxes, you know, insurances, how to, you know, how to make certain moves in order to, you know, leverage, you know, the five bank accounts I was talking about, et cetera, et cetera. More of a business perspective. You know, right. Eventually you're going to have to be that, you know, you're going to have to be that position. No matter what business you're in, you're going to have to be, you know, the boss of your business. So, like, a lot of people, you know, they want to talk about the other aspect of it, and that's cool. I'm not knocking them, like, you know, do your thing. But I'd rather concentrate more on, you know, making people successful and scaling to the, you know, the level that they want to be at. Because not everyone wants to be, you know, a big organization. Some people are happy with the small, you know, one-man show type thing, and that's fine. But you can still take from what I'm trying to teach.
I would agree with you.
So, you know, on that note, where can people find you online if they want to speak to you, if they want to order signs, et cetera?
They can always check us out on our website, spraysigns.com. We're all over. We have two different Facebook pages. One is under Spray Signs. The other one is under Chad Spray Signs on Facebook, because so many times people will throw my name around in these Facebook groups and say, oh, you got to go see Chad at Spray Sign. And so then it became, okay, you know, I'm going to start a page that goes along with that. We also have an Instagram page. We have a Twitter page, but I hardly ever use it because I really don't like Twitter.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty useless as far as a marketing tool for what we do. I do get quite a lot of responses on Instagram.
Okay, so they can find you on Facebook and Instagram at Spray Signs.
Yep, or on our website.
So, Chad, I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast. I appreciate your time. I really enjoyed your conversation. And thank you for sharing, you know, all you did.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me on, Vinny. I've enjoyed talking to you, you know, off air also. And definitely a pleasure to get to know you a little bit better.
Likewise, buddy. Thank you. If anybody wants to get in touch with Chad at Spray Signs, you can find the links in the description. I want to thank you all for tuning in to another great episode of Past Equity Business Podcast. If you want to stay up to date on how to structure and build your business, consider subscribing to the channel, share the podcast, like it, comment, and we will see you all on the next episode. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. Be sure to share, like, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Pest Equity Podcast. Join the Facebook group and go subscribe to our growing YouTube community. Have a question or topic for the show? Want to be a guest on the show? Shoot us an email at pestequitypodcast@gmail.com.